I think so.
Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason. I apologize for that screw-up, not with the song, but with it being such a bad song, because that's a very important song to me. It was one of my granddaughter's favorites. All of you all who have been with the show remember that I've talked about my granddaughter, Ramonda, and the fact that we lost her 2 years ago this month. We have a video of her singing that song, and she changed the words to say, just the way I am. I am amazing just the way I am. And she didn't always feel that way, ladies and gentlemen, because she was a very sick little girl. She had asthma from which she died from when she was 13 years old. And the thing is, there are 15,000 children a year under the age of 15 that die from an asthma attack. And along with the asthma, she had psoriasis, dermatitis, and other host of skin diseases. And she was bullied in school, and she was teased in school. And there was a young man who was a wonderful country star by the name of Brantley Gilbert, who helped her feel beautiful just the way she was. And when he met her and he drew her into his circle in his arms and he had his picture made with her, that changed her life forever. And not too long after that is when she lost her fight with asthma. So this is our first year anniversary month. It is the last night of the month that we are celebrating the anniversary. And it's only appropriate that I play Just the Way You Are for Ramonda and for all of you out there who don't feel that you are beautiful just the way you are, because you are. Because my guest tonight is someone who I hold very dear in my heart. She knows it. I've told her 100 times. And when people attack her, they attack me and I attack them in turn, because this woman is amazing. This woman has more courage, more stamina, more love, more determination, more feminism than most women that I know. I am honored and I am proud and I am humbled that not only is she here tonight, but even though I've never met her, I call her friend, and she is very special to me. Her name is Melissa Green, and she is your typical homeschooling mom of 6 children. She enjoys theology, politics, self-sufficiency, and other rabble-rousing merrymaking. The woman's got a wicked sense of humor. She's always up for a new adventure, whether it's having another baby, learning how to make something that could easily be bought in the store just because she can, building a bookshelf or a patio, or commenting on a controversial post. To Melissa, life is her oyster, and it's more than teeming with pearls, because when you see the picture of her children, those are her pearls. So, because all of y'all listen to the show. Yes, you are. Because all of y'all listen to the show. This is that. No, come on, jump in. Because all of y'all listen to this show, this is a very special show tonight. Like I said, it's the last show of the anniversary show. It has my beautiful friend Melissa, who I could not be more honored to share it with. So we're just going to jump in there.
Oh,
my beautiful friend, jump right in.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed all that. It just suddenly went out. Did you ask me a question? I'm sorry.
I said jump right in. I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk tonight. It's being ugly for some reason, but just jump right in and welcome to the show.
Oh, and I'm glad to be here.
When you and I first started talking all those many moons ago, and we were on Facebook, you were homeschooling your children just like you do now. You were making stuff from food from scratch, ladies and gentlemen. This woman, I don't know where she gets the energy. She makes tortillas from scratch. She makes salsa from scratch. When do you sleep?
Well, I have a lot of help. You have to remember my oldest is 19 years old. So it's, and he's still home for a little while longer. So, yeah, I have a lot more time than a lot of people, mostly because I get to stay home. So not a lot of women get to do that. And if I didn't do it, I'd probably be very bored.
Yeah, you would. You would be extremely bored. Before we talk about the children and all the many facets of your life and some things that are near and dear to your heart, I just want to step back in time and ask you, as a little girl growing up, was this your dream to have a house full of beautiful children, an amazing, understanding husband, and to live your life like you wanted to live it? Or did you actually have another dream that you detoured from?
That one's a hard one to answer. When I was real young, I was playing a game called MASH. You know, we've all played that game. And, you know, how many kids are you going to have? Like 6,000. I don't even remember how to play it. And I remember we were talking with my friends, and my friends said, you know, well, how many kids do you really want? And they were saying like 2 and 4, and I didn't have an answer. I just kind of went, well, I don't know, as many as my body will have, I guess. And the response was, oh, that's horrible. So I had kind of learned, you know, that's not the response that you give. So I think I didn't really set a number. And then when I had gotten married, you know, we did the negotiation thing. How many kids do you want? He wanted one. And you know, I thought, well, we should at least have 2. So I said 3. So we negotiated on 2. And Well, I guess that plan kind of went out the window somewhere along the line. We had a lot more, so and now we're very happy. So it's kind of hard to answer that question because, you know, my grandmother was one of seven, and she came from one of seven. And my grandmother, she's a big part of my life. You know, I spent a good deal of time with my grandmother. So a lot of the things that she valued, you know, became things that I valued. And so the idea that you would, you know, decide right off the bat you're only having two and that's it was kind of something I had to learn to do. And then somewhere along the time that we got our you know, we had our third baby, who was a surprise, I found that he was another boy, and I was feeling, you know, a little sad, not because it was another boy, but, you know, because I'm like, oh, I guess we're not even going to try for another little girl. And I don't think it was so much trying for a girl as much that I think I hid behind that because I don't think I was done having children. And and I'm sitting on the couch. Yeah, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm, you know, sick as can be, and I'm watching, you know, it said 14 kids and counting, or 14 and pregnant again, or something like that. And I'm thinking, somebody's 14 years old and pregnant, so of course I'm going to watch it, you know. Or, you know, like a gawk or a, you know, side of a, you know, an accident or something. What happened there, right? And then it was Michelle Duggar, and it was kind of like, I was going, wait, you can have more than three? It's like somehow or another it didn't dawn on me that nobody's going to come and tell me, that's it, pack it up, you can have, you know, you're done, you're not allowed to have any more. So, it took us a couple years, you know, to really get on board with that, and a whole lot of convincing on my part to my husband. But now that we're having them, unfortunately I'm 42, so I don't know how many more I can have, but we're really kind of enjoying it. So we're just going to keep going until there isn't any more to have, I suppose. So, and, you know, maybe I can talk them into adoption after that. I don't know. I guess we'll just have to see what comes.
You were one of those amazing women, and unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not. I had three because I didn't want four.
That is okay, too.
My mother was an only child until my aunt was born, and my mother was almost grown. Well, my father was the second oldest of five. I'm the oldest of five. And my grandmother, on both sides of my grandmother's, had a whole passel of children, but they lived on farms, and they had children to work the farms. It was just an accepted way of life, especially in the rural South. But I've watched you grow with your children, and I've watched the children grow, and I've watched the things that you've had to put up with the stupidity of social media. And I'm thinking to myself, what gives someone else the right to say what is right or wrong in someone else's life when they're not, A, paying the bills, 2, feeding the children, 3, taking care of the children, or 4, married to the person that they're married to? They don't have that right. So let's take a visit. Let's visit this if we can. Let's start off with the stigma to homeschooling. You have done a magnificent job with your children homeschooling them. How did you get started doing that? Why did you do it? And how has it progressed? And your 19-year-old son is probably getting ready to go off to college or in the Army or move out on his own or get a job or do something, but he's very well-rounded.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of funny. I had a picture of the way that my life was going to go after a certain time, and I was going to be a writer and send my kids off to school, and I was going to stay home and do this, right? You know, I mean, lots of people have that dream, right? Mm-hmm. And God kind of laughed at those plans and said, ha, that's funny. No, you're going to do this. So that's kind of how it went along. I put my oldest in school, and it was disastrous. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I was, you know, my aunt had homeschooled. She started homeschooling, the whole homeschooling idea in our family. And she went through a lot, you know, having to convince our entire family that no, homeschooling is okay. The kids are going to be okay. And they are too, by the way. They're cousins are brilliant and really got things going in their lives. She did a phenomenal job. So by the time I started having kids, you know, it was no longer, oh, this is so silly, how dare you, you know, homeschool. She did all the work for me. And so by the time I started having kids, it was, you know, I was like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. That's just weird. And my family's like, no, you have to homeschool. This is the way to do it. You gotta homeschool. So I have the opposite of what a lot of homeschoolers have, where they're having to convince everybody, you know, that it's okay, that they're not going to screw their kids up. And I was trying to convince my family, no, my kids are not going to get screwed up if I send them to school. So so it was a little weird the way that that had worked out. But I did. I sent them to school, and it was just, it was utterly disastrous. I had never understood just how biased we have become against boys, especially younger boys. And he, it just seemed like he was getting penalized just for being a boy. And I know we don't like that saying boys will be boys, because we've learned to associate it with something else. My grandmother never
right.
did. So it was shocking to me when I found out that that meant something entirely different than what I had grown up knowing it to mean. But here's my boy who's got the same personality type that I do, and he's doing his best to do school, but it's just really boring for him. But he's doing the best he can, and he's not sitting still enough. And so he's suddenly this bright kid who was learning to read, and he was learning to write, and he was just brilliant and excited for, you know, the things that he learned. I put him in school, and suddenly he doesn't want to add 2 + 2.
Mm-hmm.
He's in trouble with the teacher. There's a girl that's bullying him, yet he's the one getting you know, threatened to be suspended. And so I didn't want to homeschool, but I ended up not knowing what else to do. We had pulled him out, put him in a charter school. We tried that, but then as I'm doing it, I'm not really liking it. I'm like, well, why do we have to do 50 problems? He got it in 10. I don't understand why. I mean, he's in second grade. What's the deal with this?
Yeah, really.
And so I was talking to my sister, who had, you know, decided she was going to homeschool her kids, and I'm telling her my problems. I'm going, well, I don't understand why it's got to be this way, and I don't understand why it's got to be that way. And it just seems like, you know, keep in mind, I did teach him quite a bit before. He didn't go to kindergarten. I taught him, you know, kindergarten, and then sent him in. And so she kept going, oh, well, it sounds to me like what you want to do is homeschool. And I'm like, no, that's too hard. I don't know what I'm doing. I'll probably screw it up. And then I would talk a little bit more, and she'd go, okay, but what it really sounds like is you want to homeschool. And so about the fifth time she said that, I said, okay, tell me about it. And she did. And I went, oh, well, it sounds like I want to homeschool. And so... And then there was a whole trick of trying to get my husband on board, because he was homeschooled and hated it. It just didn't work out too well for him for a very short period of time. He preferred to be back in school, but I don't know. I didn't do that very gracefully. I'll tell you that. We were geographically separated because of his work, and so he said, "No, you'll put him in school." And I was so mad. I don't recommend. This is not the way to do it. Okay, this is absolutely not the way to do it. Okay, but I got so mad. I didn't feel like he was listening to me, so I hung up the phone. He called me back, and I said, "Listen, if you want them in school, I guess you're going to have to figure a way to come down here and take them every day, because I'm not gonna." Not the way to do it. but he said, okay, fine. If you want to homeschool, that's fine. Just do it. And I don't know at that time if he was, you know, saying, okay, fine, you won, or I'll just sit back here and watch you screw him up for a year. I don't really know what he was going through his mind. But, you know, he gave me a lot more grace than I deserved at the time, I'll tell you that. I don't know. I started on this journey, and it wasn't very easy in the beginning. I had to learn that homeschooling is an entirely different beast than public schooling, and even in private schools. The way we do things is, somebody used the word organic. I guess that's a pretty good word to use. It just kind of went like that. And then a couple years later, right when we're into it, you know, my oldest one says, I think I'd like to go to school. And my heart sunk, because he said it right in front of my husband, right? And this whole time, I'm like this propaganda machine, right? I'm telling him, oh, look at all these things that we would have to be afraid, because I didn't want him to tell me to put him back in school. So I'm feeding my husband left and right all this propaganda. And then here comes my son telling me he wants to go to public school. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we're talking, and I go, okay, well, why do you want to go to public school? Turns out he just thought he would have more time with his friends, but he was a little too old for that, so he wouldn't have had the recesses he thought that he would have. And once I said that, mm-hmm. he's like, oh, I won't? I said, well, no, you'll be sitting in school. And I go, and then you got to make sure to get up at, you know, 7. And as soon as I said you had to be up at 7, that was it. He's like, no, forget it. I'll stay home. That was it. And I just kind of looked over at my husband like, go ahead. Yep.
What I was I was going to say is when I think about what you said about he was still in school, the reason he couldn't sit still is he was bored.
Yes. Yes, he really was. I've learned, I have five boys and only one girl, and there is so much difference. Even though all my boys have different personalities, boys really do need to move. And and they just don't learn like girls do. My girl, she sat down, she colored it too. She's already learned most of her alphabet and everything, and she's just four, and we haven't even really tried. And she can sit for long periods of time. They can't. It's stifling to them. And I don't know. I just don't like the idea of taking their boyhood from them. I think they need that.
And they need the ability to be able to express themselves without fear of retribution. And we are doing our children an injustice. Yes, they need discipline. We all need discipline. Yes, they need to be rules. But when you tell a little boy, hey, you can't be a boy, you can't do boy things because you're being disruptive, I have a problem with that.
Yeah, me too. I have a big. Now, it's not that they can't learn to be polite, and I always have to explain that. No, I don't let my kids run around. I don't let them be mean. I don't let them be monsters. But there are things that, are generally speaking, I'm sure there's some boys that are different, obviously, but I think for the most part, boys really, they're just boys, just like girls are girls, and I don't think it's wrong to let them be boys, and I don't think it's wrong to let my girl be a girl. And it's funny because there's a lot of crossover. My girl, she's got her own little sword and her, she runs around, she plays with the boys' Legos and their little Spider-Man action figures and what have you, but she does spend a lot of time just being what you would think a girl would be like. Same with my boys. My boys run around. They're cuddly with their baby, and they love their sister. And oh, God bless their heart. If she wants to play dress up, they'll play dress up with her. They'll play tea party with her. Because they love her so much. But so there's a little bit of crossover, and they are like that. Boys.
And there's nothing wrong with any of that. It it teaches that child to be a well-rounded child.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, too, because, I started out painting my boys' nails. I was like, okay, they want to paint their nails when I painted them. I'm like, okay, I'll paint your nails. What's the harm in that?
Exactly. No harm in it.
Yeah, that's something my grandmother had taught me to do. It's just me and my sister, and then she had two girls. My grandmother had two girls, and so there wasn't a lot of boys. But we did have a cousin who was a boy, and he'd come over and see us painting our nails, and I'd be like, oh, no, you don't paint your nails. You're a boy. And she'd be like, no, I'll paint his nails. It's fine. He's young.
You had a wonderful grandmother. She was so way before her time.
She stayed home too, and she's one of those people who is just absolutely wonderful, and then also could really just let you have it. So, I mean, talk about well-rounded, right?
Yeah. Well, when I say she was well before her time, your grandmother was comfortable, it sounds like to me, with who she was, where she was, how she was going, where she was going, and if the rest of the world didn't like it, that was their problem and not hers.
Yeah, that's pretty much her. But she definitely had her opinions too that were pretty, pretty what you would consider conservative too. So,
well, and that's okay. But she knew who she was, and
yes,
she didn't depend on other people to tell her who she was. And this brings
No, you didn't do that. No.
And this brings me to my next point in tonight's show. And ladies and gentlemen, if this offends you, at this point, it doesn't really matter, especially some of the women out there that get offended because of a natural thing that a mother does. And we're going to talk about the decision for a mother to breastfeed. I chose not to. I just was not that kind of a mother, but that doesn't make it right or wrong. Melissa chose to do it, and she has gotten beaten up by women who say they are feminist because she's made that choice. And I've seen her getting beaten up, and I don't mean really, I mean on social media. So me and my big mouth, I jump in and tell them to take a hike because this is as natural as breathing. Women want their breasts to be all sexy. They want to run around half naked and expose their breasts and make themselves look cheap. And what Melissa does is something as natural as breathing. That's why women have breasts. I'm sorry, but that's just the nature of the beast, right, Melissa?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's funny, too, because, you know, you hit right on that. It's so odd to me. And here's the thing. I used to be one of those women. Go, oh, well, you can. Now, keep in mind, I have always breastfed my children. I have never done the formula thing. I don't know why. I just, you know, I just always picture myself breastfeeding, and so that's what I did. But even so, I don't think I did it very well with the first three. I started breastfeeding, you know, 19 years ago. And back then, if you put a blanket over you, people would give you a dirty look. You know, you really did go to the bathroom to do it. And so it's kind of funny because I've been doing it for so long that I've seen how much we've changed in 20 years. So all this stuff is just nothing, you know, to me. I'm like, you just don't know. You just wait. You know, you're going to learn it. but that's just me. I don't care. You know, I'm the same with homeschooling, breastfeeding, you know, everything else I do, stay at home, you know, you name it. I'm just geared for a fight, apparently.
but the thing is, when women are so proud of their breast that they run around half naked, and ladies, pay attention to what I'm saying because I've seen it happen. Women cause men to have thoughts they should not have. By the way, they dress.
Yeah.
But yet they want to get pissed off at you or another woman who's breastfeeding in public. How could you do that? That is degrading. Seriously?
You know, it is very bizarre. It's almost like we're fostering our boys, you know, at a very young age to have these thoughts that, I don't know that they would never, I mean, come on, a pretty face, you know, they're going to, you know, or a, you know, a certain body type or whatever, you know, we're all going to be attracted to what we're going to be attracted to. I don't think breasts are any different, with the exception that I think we would have a lot more self-control if we understood what they were for.
Exactly.
It just seems very strange. And to me, I'm kind of laughing at it because, you know, by the time you get to the sixth kid, you know, you're going, look, I don't have time for this. You know, I don't have time to mess with this blanket. Okay, I've got to chase kids and feed a baby. And I'm sorry if it bothers you. You're just going to have to look away. Of course, there isn't a whole lot to be seen anyway. So
no.
It is a very strange thing. And so now I'm to the point where I've nursed for so long that, you know, if you count up the years, I don't even remember what is it like. Oh, seven. Well, it'll be 7 years by the end of the time. End of this year, I'll have nursed total. That's a long time. You know, you have to start throwing that stuff out. You know that. Yeah, I don't know. The blanket thing drives me nuts because the whole point is to be modest, right? Whatever that means. I don't think we use that word right, but discreet, I think, is what they're looking for, right? But there is nothing less discreet than, you know, wearing a great big old banner that says, "I am nursing now. Come and look."
Well, to me, there's nothing less discreet than the feminist that did the March on Washington that marched naked. Seriously? You want to talk about a mother that's breastfeeding while you're standing in a march protesting the current president because you say he's against feminism and you're standing there naked? Now, to me, that's degrading.
I think that. And then the dress that they wore of the female body, you know, the whole time it's been, you know, we're more than that, but now we're going to dress up like that. I don't understand that. That's just weird. Yeah.
I'm going, what is wrong with women, Melissa? Have they collectively lost their ever-loving minds?
I think so. I think we just don't have anything else to protest. It's like we're all a bunch of rebels without causes a lot of the time. We just got to have a reason to be upset. You know, we don't really know what else to do with ourselves.
They're going to be upset at a mother breastfeeding, but they're going to march on Washington with no clothes on. I mean, really?
Yeah, it is the most bizarre thing that I've got friends that, oh, my gosh, you'll see me talk to them a lot, you know, especially my friend Cliff. I talk to him all the time, and I'm always razzing him. He's always razzing me back, and that poor guy. I have to feel sorry for him sometimes. He said he made the mistake of saying something about, oh, you know, you can't breastfeed with your breast all hanging out. But I've seen the pictures he's posted, you know, about like apparently there's something called suicide girls, and they're a little bit bigger of women, which is great. They look fantastic, but they're very scantily clothed, you know, and you know their boobs are kind of hanging out a little bit.
Okay.
I'm thinking, okay. Right, I'm like going, that's okay, but
but I can't breastfeed my child. We have, you know what we've done? We've turned morality upside down.
Yes, we really have. We really have. It's strange. It's almost like we've taken something that's, you know, meant to feed our babies, and we went through this strange period where we didn't for a time. You know, we stopped doing that. We felt that breastfeeding was inferior. I remember my grandmother was telling me about that they didn't breastfeed because it was necessarily wrong, you know, like necessarily a dirty thing to do, but because it was a lower class thing. You know, she was telling me how they were, you know, they really did believe that the formula was superior to breast milk. And at the time, I don't know that it was superior to breast milk, but it was certainly more superior to what they were feeding their baby. So, you know, I'm glad we have it. You know, I mean, it's...
Well, I don't know. Mine were all allergic to it. Mine had projectional vomiting.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yes, I probably would have been better off.
Oh, that's sad. That's horrible that happens. I, as a child, was both breastfed and formula fed. So, you know, I don't know. I just feel there's bigger fights to fight. I think the worst you can do is not feed your child, but yeah.
Well, and think about this, and this is what women are forgetting. Women have breastfed their babies for centuries, and it was necessary because that was the only way the children were going to get fed because they didn't have formula. And every female animal feeds their babies from the breast.
Yes. Yes.
It's very natural.
And my favorite, it is. And then there's, you know, okay, I got to admit, okay, this is where I'm going to sound like a jerk here towards my, you know, my fellow Christian brethren. I love my fellow Christian brethren, and I see eye to eye on everything, and there's a lot in there that feel the same way I do about breastfeeding. But then there's some that for some strange reason, they think of breastfeeding as something terrible. Like, oh, that's just immodest, you know. And
why?
I'm sitting in there, you know, they start, well, I don't know. When I, you know me, I'm like a dog with a bone, okay? If you tell me something like that, okay, I'm going to come after you with all I got, right? I'm going to say, okay, well, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's turn this shiny coin over and over until we get to, you know, so we figure out why it shines, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and so I've kind of gotten to the point where I think it has more to do with their ideas of growing. You know, it's really hard to grow up with a certain idea and then come to find out that your idea may not be the right one. And I think that's a lot of what's going on is that we have this good Christian upbringing. You know, we don't wear things like that because that's not Christian. Only to come, you know, we don't breastfeed in public because that's not Christian. That might show a breast, you know. And then you start taking them to the Bible and you take them to like Lamb. Right, you take them, they're like, well, you know, the Song of Solomon, right? I mean, that's the biggest one, right? The Song of Solomon, right? But then you start reading through the Song of Solomon, you're like, well, if this is true, then nobody can go hunting because, you know, two doe, you know, foraging in a forest is kind of a sexual picture in Song of Solomon. And you can't eat grapes because that's kind of sexual. And let's see, you can't show lips. You know, I mean, what are we reduced to? You know, wearing burkas? I don't understand. You know, where are we supposed to go with this? So, yeah, so you start breaking it down. You're going, is it possible that things could have more than one purpose? You know what I mean? And I think it's a little bit of a cognitive dissonance, you know, that we all go through. I know I certainly went through it, you know. It was my cousin Stacy who brought me around to that. I think I had been told it a lot, but I think it was something she said that made me go, oh, you're right. And that was it. That was it. I just,
well,
know,
and think about it. Think about it, Melissa. We pump our children from the time they're 6 weeks old, we pump our children full of vaccines and other stuff that the body at that point in time is not ready for. And
right.
then they don't get the nutrients from the mother's milk, which is natural, which is God-given. And we wonder why we raise sick children. Well, they're not protected from the natural milk of the mother.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, it's, you know, it's, you know, so many people, oh, science, science. And then when you try to explain to them, you know, the science of breastfeeding all the way from the beginning, you know, like it's like so far the best food. I mean, we haven't been able to improve on it yet.
No.
You know?
No.
Yeah. And so I just think, you know, you start pointing out the way that the breast functions and what's underneath the big hump that everybody's looking at, and the fact and my biggest pet peeve is these breasts that are all over the billboards. I'm looking at them, and one day I'm going, that looks like a fully engorged breast. They're going after, you know, men are... I'm like,
I love it.
Isn't that interesting? That's what the sexual symbol is, basically a bottle. I mean, that's
yep.
It's kind of sad. It makes me cringe to think that our, you know, some of the, what we're fostering in our men is this, it's weird. It's like Baby Huey. We've got a bunch of Baby Hueys running around.
Yeah, exactly. And when you put it, let's put it all in perspective. By the time women get in their 70s, 80s, sometimes their mammary glands or their bottles are so worn out that they drop to their knees so they can pick them up and sling them over their shoulder just to put them in their bra.
So if you have 60 kids, it happens a lot earlier. So you start rolling them up like a pair of socks and shoving them in. So,
so where's the sexy in that?
Right, right. We better hope there's a little more to it than that, right?
Exactly. So guys, I hope we have destroyed your entire fantasy about women and their breasts.
Oh, and I try every day. I try every day to put that picture in perspective, and I'm not always nice about it. So, yeah.
And remember, gentlemen, we are the ones. We have to carry this around. Y'all don't. I mean, and God loves the women that are extremely well endowed, even before they have children and get engorged with milk and the breasts start hanging down to the knees. Because it's not fun to carry all that extra weight around.
It's really not. I've always had a little more up top. You know, I have that, what do they call that? It's that inverted triangle type of body. So I've got small hips, and you'd never know by the kids I can push out, but I've got small hips and a little bit larger up at the top. And so, you know, when it's time for me to nurse, I mean, there are days when, you know, especially in the beginning, I almost wish I had a wheelbarrow. Like, it's a little embarrassing. You know, and I'm thinking, this is what people think are attractive, because I feel very not attractive right now. it's just not very pretty, you know.
And the fact that you and I can laugh about it because we've been there, we understand it. That the thing I hated worst about being pregnant was that extra package that I was carrying around, and at the most inopportune moment, even though I didn't nurse, your clothes are solid wet.
Oh, yes. Takes a whole new meaning to wet shirt contests, and nobody wants to win that one at all. So
exactly.
That's extremely embarrassing. Yeah, it's
not fun at all.
Yeah.
And you're going, why? And then, the baby's crying.
Yeah, or somebody else's baby's crying. Now, I've had it, I'll be nursing one, and then it's coming down on the other side, and just as you get that side to stop, right, you hear a baby cry. And sometimes they'll start it right up again, and then, my baby who I'm currently feeding is now choking. Yeah, it's a lot of work. So
a lot of work.
It just drives me nuts. Yeah, it drives me nuts. I'm thinking, why can't you cover up? Well, first of all, if I covered up, you would know that I was doing it. You know,
I usually feed in my carrier.
right. Yeah, and besides that, you know, it's hot under there. It's a lot of work. You can't see what you're doing. You know, it's when babies are, when you're first starting out, they don't just come out knowing how to do it. There's a lot of you got to, you're trying to nurse a baby who doesn't know what they're doing, and you can't make them learn how to do it. It's just, it's always, I've had six, I go through this every baby. It's not particularly easy to do it. And then you can't see what you're doing under that blanket, and then it's just really hot, and then the baby's pulling off, and it's like, why can't you, or worse yet, why can't you pump? Well, because we're meant to feed every 2 to 4 hours, and if I miss a feeding, my body goes, "Oh, we don't need that feeding anymore." Then my baby starves.
Diet.
I mean, it's
it's a
lot of work. I don't think we're at that stage where we've learned enough compassion to see what women who are trying to do the very best for their babies can do. You know, which is to nurse. Not all women can do that. Let's face it. Okay, I have some friends who may have really wanted to, and they did. They really wanted to nurse, but they had like that polycystic, whatever that is, and I didn't realize how it affected everything, and it made it very difficult for them to breastfeed, so they just couldn't. They couldn't produce enough milk.
And then they
felt like they were.
And they felt like they were failing
their
child.
They felt like a failure.
Yeah, and they were.
Yeah, it's. No, because you know, hey, look, formula's come a long way. Do I think it's. Well, I don't know. Here's where I stand on the whole formula and breastfeeding thing. I think if it wasn't so taboo and we didn't make it so difficult for women to do it, and it was just something we saw all the time, I think we might have more women doing it. But then I don't really know. You know, I mean, historically, the one of the reasons we stopped is we just felt, you know, women did feel, you know, very tied down for a short period of time. But then again, I'm looking at the fact that we have carriers now, and so I'm wondering. If we had more help, you know, if we knew what we were doing, you know, I didn't know. I mean, it took me 6 months with my first one to figure out how to do it. And just as I got to figuring it out, and we had just finally gotten into it, it was smooth sailing. Back then, you didn't nurse that long. So I got the 6 months. Well, when are you going to wean? Wait, what? I just learned how to do this. I think I'm going to go a little longer, you know. And then it was a fight back then to go for even a year, you know. It was like, why are you nursing so long at a year? You know, now we think a year nothing, you know. Now it's like, oh, you nursed for two, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's really strange. But, back then it was really something, and I just had to keep going back. I had really good doctors at the time that were, you know, he was also very small. He was 4 pounds, 15 ounces, and, you know, here I am really big, and we know where all that pregnancy weight went for that pregnancy, but, you know, trying to figure out how to get all of that into this itty bitty little hole was really hard. You know, it was a real struggle. And so, you know, it was nothing but struggles, you know, during the first time. So I totally understand. But then again, you know, you fast forward and it seems like the cure is to hit back twice as hard, which I don't necessarily know that that's the best. I mean, it's not that I don't, you know, I'm usually very sarcastic, and a lot of things I say come across a lot harder online than I really mean them to be, but, you know, it has a lot to do, like, you know, depending on who I talk to, you know, if I was in a chat room and some.
My thought process is if a woman makes that choice. Because you and I know what they say, well, it's a woman's body if she wants to have an abortion. Okay, let's take that same statement and say, if we're going to put it in that context, and we both feel the same way about that, then let's put this in the same context. It's a woman's body. If she chooses to feed her baby the natural way, leave her the hell alone.
You know, you'd think that, but it's this whole idea that we are somehow bothering somebody else. It, like I said, there's a certain amount of perversion that's going along in our society that I've kind of been really paying attention to. I was in this one chat room. It wasn't a chat room. It was an article, and you know, I don't even think there are chat rooms anymore. But there's an article, and there's comment sections at the bottom, and there's this guy named Old Tom, and he was just saying how, oh, you don't care about other people. You only care about yourself, right? Then he goes on to tell me about how he went on, he was at a neighbor's house, or he was at a friend's house, and they invited him for dinner, and all they served him was asparagus, and how he thought that those people were so rude to bring him into his house, or into their house, and only give them asparagus for dinner. And I'm sitting here going, now wait a minute, you went into somebody else's house, and you're going to tell them how they're going to run their household, and how they're going to treat people. but you don't want to be in public with somebody and have somebody else say the same thing to you when they're not in your house. I don't understand that. It's not like I went into his house and nursed him. If I'm going to nurse, then you're just going to have to
deal with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I just don't. But in public? Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, I'm allowed to be there, so I'm going to be there. The irony here, of course, is that all this trouble I get myself into online, and I walk around nursing my babies all day long. I have them in the carrier, and I don't cover up. I don't even try to cover up, but nobody ever knows this. And it's the strangest thing to me. I'll be walking around, like the last time we were at Lowe's, and I'm just feeding the baby, not thinking anything of it, just feeding it. This woman says, oh, I love babies. She comes and she peers over the top of the carrier to where my baby
Lord.
Is nursing. And she's just talking and talking and talking, and finally she to the baby, who's just kind of looking at him and cooing back at her and going right back on to nursing. And I'm just like, okay. And then she goes, oh, he's so cute. You should see him. And I go, okay, well, he is nursing right now. And she goes, oh, I didn't even know, which kind of makes me wonder. You know how they say that women are doing it as an exhibitionist? Is it possible that the people who are making the biggest deals out of it are the exhibitionists?
Probably. That's a good point.
Yeah,
good point.
It seems to me they're doing it for a lot of attention, where, normally, it's, I don't know. I suspect there are some women out there that are, look at me, I'm nursing, and, and what have you, which I don't know is necessarily bad. Yeah, but I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing. I think we need to deal with the fact that that's what breasts are for. But with that being said, I think most mothers just want to feed their babies. They're just trying to comfort their baby. They're just trying to feed their baby just like any other mother. The only difference is that, mothers who bottle feed don't have to hide the bottle under a blanket.
Exactly.
Although they didn't. I don't know. Sometimes in certain circles, I think that they feel that they have to. How dare you bottle feed? And, I think about my friends, who had problems, and I just don't think that's very fair either.
No, it isn't.
It just seems like we could be doing a whole lot better, to try to.
Well, let's put it in perspective, Melissa. Yeah, let's put this in perspective. When a new mother has a baby, it's hard enough making that adjustment physically, but then you've got to deal emotionally and mentally, and to have all this other crap piled on top of a new mother, to me, is crude, rude, ill-mannered, and sociably unacceptable. If you cannot be part of the solution, don't be the problem.
Yes, and then on top of that, you start thinking about, well, we don't have a society if we don't keep having children.
Exactly. We don't have a future.
It seems so bizarre to me. No, and it seems very bizarre to me that the preference would go to the people who don't like children. And again, I'm not saying that it's okay to let your kids run hog wild. I can't stand that. Okay, I'm probably more lenient than a lot of people are where kids are concerned. But, if a parent is on the phone and they're typing and they're talking really loud to, their friend and not caring that their child is terrorizing another child or really harassing, which, my kids have gone through that, where parents have not cared that their kids have just utterly tore my children to parts, which I don't really like. But and then, Mother Bear comes out. Boy, that's not fun. But right. It's like, no, I draw the line when my child starts getting hurt like that. Okay. I'm not for that, and I'm not saying that, but you see parents, and maybe they don't know what to do, okay? Like their baby is crying, but you see them trying to do something. They just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me there's a lot of people out there who are, if your child is going to cry like that, you should take them out. And maybe that would be the better thing to do, is to maybe remove the child from the situation because maybe they're overwhelmed. But I don't think that we should do it as a judgment. I don't think that we know what to do. We're, as a society, we've kind of forgotten how to parent. And we're not very, I don't know that we're very supportive of helping each other learn that. Yeah.
We are not, because we are too busy, we're too self-centered, we're too selfish, and we're too unappreciative of our future that are the children that will be the future dreamers that will carry on the society and make it even better than it is now.
Yeah, and then here's another little sobering fact. Okay, when we're all old and in nursing homes, those children we shunned are the ones that are going to be taking care of us.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I think if we look at it if no other way than that, maybe we want to cherish them a little more than we are. Not so much that we make them, you know, self-centered snowflakes, you know, that have to have that participation trophy or their entire world melts.
Oh, good
but,
Lord.
Yeah, but maybe there's something
in
the middle.
Yeah. How to have a backbone, how to learn how to be rejected, how to learn how to fail, because if you can't fail gracefully, you certainly cannot succeed gracefully.
Right. Yeah, maybe not fall to pieces when, you know, somebody yells at you or, you know, insults you, because let's face it, you know, there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah,
you know, we got to learn how to deal with even the difficult ones. So.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get a lot of backlash about this show, but that's why I call it Off the Chain.
Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you know, when you bring me on, you know, that's
well,
probably
that
what you're going to get. So.
That's why I did it. I told you that's why I wanted you on the show. In fact, I want to bring you back because we didn't cover half of what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, my gosh. Has it been an hour already? Oh,
just
you are wonderful. I was really nervous. Yeah, wow.
See, ladies and gentlemen, she told me that she was a nervous wreck. Let me tell you what happened, ladies and gentlemen. I put the show up as a reminder that in 2 hours we would be going live with Melissa Green, exceptional mother, wife, and she reposted and she goes, oh, my Lord, I remembered, then I forgot. Please don't let me forget. Because we had to cancel last week's show, and she got herself all worked up about the show. Then I had to cancel it because my husband was not well. So then I put it up tonight. I put it up at the first of the week to remind her. Then I put it up tonight, and she got herself all in a tizzy, as we say in the South, and got her panties all in a knot because she's afraid she's going to forget.
I did.
And then she gets all
really
nervous. And I told her, I said, honey, it's just me and you and 40,000 of our closest friends. It's not a problem.
And I was okay with the me and you. And then you said 40,000, and I'm like,
And over 70 countries, Melissa.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm glad you waited until the end to tell me that part.
And see, the beautiful thing is this show is heard on here on Blog Talk Radio. It's heard on iTunes, on YouTube, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, Mixcloud, Podcast.com, Spreaker, and Podcast Garden, FM.com, and TuneIn Radio.
Oh, yes, I'm very glad you didn't tell me that until the end.
Well, what I'm going to do is at the end of the show when we hang up, when it goes up into archives, I'm going to put the archives up on my page. Then I'm going to tag you in it. Then tomorrow I'm going to put the podcast up and tag you in. And I want you to spread this show everywhere. Repost it everywhere.
I will do that. Because this is the stuff I talk about online. I mean, they should all know. They should all know this is coming.
and we didn't get to feeding a large family or encouraging other moms or home births because you got beat up about too. So I want you to come back in February and let's continue this conversation.
Because you are the
expert. Let's educate these young women that A, their breasts are not sex objects. B, their bodies are not sex objects. C, if they want to be a mother and breastfeed, that's okay. If they want to have a home birth, that's okay. And if they want to homeschool their kids, that's okay too.
Yes. Basically, just it's okay to be a mother. And anybody who thought that staying at home, you know, was boring, oh, no. I haven't been bored since I stayed home. I'm frustrated, yes, but not bored, no.
It's a 24/7 job, ladies and gentlemen, and it is sometimes a thankless job.
Yes, it is, especially when you spend all that time making that meal for the first time and it doesn't come out right. It's a new meal. Yeah, that's not so fun. But there's a lot of really good, too. So, you know, it balances out. It's just it's the biggest job I've ever done. Let me put it that way.
And let me tell you what, your Christian friends that get all bent out of shape about breastfeeding because it's immodest, they need to go and read Proverbs 30, where it talks about a worthy woman.
Oh, Proverbs 31? Oh, yeah.
31.
Yes.
Yeah,
that one is, my aunt had wrote that whole thing out for me for my wedding day. It was part of my present, and it's in a scrapbook, and I'd never read it before. You know, you're a kid, and I got married at 19, so I didn't really know. And she later felt so bad about that, but I'm so glad that she did that because I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have known what to even shoot for, so I was really glad to have that.
So there you go. And ladies and gentlemen, those of you all that read the Bible understand what Proverbs 31 is about. I will never reach that height of that worthy woman because I'm far from it.
Oh, well, thankfully, she's a fictional woman. Nobody will. So that's just something to shoot for.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we are in the last 4 minutes of the show. Seriously. The last four minutes.
Wow.
I told you it would fly by.
This was fun. This was a lot of fun. You made me feel very comfortable. You're good at this. You're really good.
Well, thank you, my darling. So you will come back when I send you a date. You will come back in February. In fact, I want to have you as a regular because there's so much more that we have not covered. And I think it's time that we stand together as women, as mothers, as wives who are secure in who we are, where we are, and how we're going to get there. And I'm one of the biggest feminists I know, but I'm but I respect men. I love men.
Yeah.
But I respect them. And I demand respect from men. So that's another whole topic we can talk about.
Oh, yeah. Especially since I have 5 boys and a husband I really, really love. Oh, yes. I have taken a stance against the misandry that we have going on. You know, we all know about the word misogynist. Strangely,
yes.
We don't really hear the word misandry very often.
Exactly.
Which is
so there
odd.
We go. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have heard it first. My wonderful, 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 loving mother, friend, wife will become a regular on this show, and we will cover topics from everything from feminism to stupidity, not necessarily in that order.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun, though. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Okay, well, then as soon as we get off of here, I'll send you a date for February, and then we'll go on from there. But, ladies and gentlemen, we'll start back up on Wednesday night. Sadly, I did not bring my guest list back to the studio tonight because I had a brain fart. I didn't sleep well last night. But
I'm sorry.
It's terminal. You know, it's what I do. But in your lives, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to achieve greatness, stop asking permission. Because if you ask permission, nobody's going to give it to you. That's just the way of life. So if you want to achieve greatness, just go out and do it. And stop just feeling special. Be special. If somebody says, "Do you feel special today?" say, "Hell no, I am special." Deal with it.
Yeah.
And another thing that I
agree.
Say at the end of the See, even Melissa agrees. She's going to tell her kids that. Another thing I say at the end of the show is your smile is your logo, ladies and gentlemen. Your personality is your business card. How you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, that is indeed your trademark. So when you see a nursing mother out there, you walk up to her and you say, "God bless you," or "I am proud of you." Do not denigrate her. Because she is taking care of her child. Melissa, my darling, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. You don't know how much I appreciate it. Because you are one busy lady.
Oh, thank you for having me. Oh, well, yeah, but you know, if you're not busy, what are you going to do? You know, that's just boring.
It has been a wonderful hour. And I can't wait to do it again. So, ladies and gentlemen, join us next Wednesday night when we start a new month, the month of August. We start on our second year in this show of Off the Chain. So with that being said, I am your host, Yvonne Mason, with my wonderful friend, Melissa Green, who I love with all of my heart. And I am so grateful that she is in my life. Friend her on Facebook. I'm telling you, she's amazing. How she does it, I don't know, but she is an absolute amazing woman. So with that
so
being
be forewarned,
said,
I am really into politics. I
yes,
really like politics.
So until Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Yvonne Mason, on Off the Chain with my guest, Melissa Green, and we say good night. Hang on just for a second. Okay, Melissa, we're off the air now, but everything we say will go up in the archive show. But I did want to remind you again that once this goes up in the archives, I'm going to tag you in it. I want you to spread it everywhere, honey. This is your platform.
Oh, that's not a problem. I can do that.
And then tomorrow when I put the 5 podcast up, spread it everywhere. This is your platform. This is my gift to you, my friend.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And I can't wait to do this again.
I had a really good time. I was really sweating it, I got to tell you. You know, I am an introvert more than people want to think that I am. And, yeah, that was that. But, you know, if you don't ever get outside your comfort zone, you never get to do anything fun. So
exactly. And you are a pro. You didn't sound like
you
were nervous.
Oh, well, that's
at all.
Only because I was on with you. I think if I had been on with somebody else, I think I would have been a whole lot more nervous. I think I would have clammed up a whole lot worse.
But it's what we do here. We just make people feel at home, like they're sitting in front of the fire with me and we're just having a nice little chat.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Good. Well, I am going to let you get back to your family because I know that this is your wind down time at night. And again, thank you, my darling friend, for spending an hour with me. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Truly, it really was. It was a lot of fun. I'm beside myself at how much fun it actually was.
It's kind of your euphoric feeling, I guess.
Yeah, I think you may have created a monster. I don't know.
Okay, I like monsters. They're fun. So with that, I will go. We'll shut this show down. I'll go and send you a date, and we'll get you set up for February.
Okay, it sounds like a plan.
All right, I love you, my darling.
Well, we love you too. We can't wait to do this again.
I know. It'll be soon.
Yes, it will.
Good night, darling.
Okay. Good night.